Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
They haven't won a World Series in a century or so. So what? They're here. Every April, they're here. A 1-5 or a 7-5, there is a game. If it gets rained out, guess what? They make it up to you. Does anyone else in your life do that?
It's time for Hit and Run.
Don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground ball. It's more democratic.
Cubs and White Sox conversation every Sunday morning till Cubs first pitch.
Any bet against my Sox this series is a sucker bet. Of course, I'm not a gambling man.
Hosted by Matt Spiegel.
I want the absolute truth here. Are you 100%?
Yeah, well, about something like that.
You better. You want to make this team.
Connecting with you, the baseball fanatic.
There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Hit and Run on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com and the radio.com app.
That's what you've got. Hit and Run up until 12:45 today on 670 The Score. Who you've got is not Matt Spiegel, though. He's out touring the great country of Ireland, and in his place, pinch hitting today is myself, Nick Stepkowski. Good morning. Happy Sunday. Welcome in Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. 670thescore.com is what you have. Hit and Run is the baseball program that we bring you each and every Sunday morning here on The Score. Today we're out and about. If you're heading to Wrigley Field later on to see the Cubs try and cap off this great homestand with what might be a sweep of the San Diego Padres, come on by Smoke Daddy. We're here until 12:45, and then after me, Zach Zaidman will also hold his pregame festivities ahead of Cubs and Padres this afternoon here on The Score. I mean, great setup they have in here for us. You look outside, Wrigley Field right across the street, Gallagher Way right across the street, neighborhood already kind of filling up with fans getting the early start on the festivities for the day. But 3636 North Clark, Smoke Daddy's where we're at, and we're going to be here all morning talking baseball with you, Cubs fans, White Sox fans, baseball fans in and around the city of Chicago. Some great guests lined up as always. Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago will join us today from Cooperstown. Did some write-ups on both Harold Baines and Lee Smith, the Chicago representatives that are going into the Hall of Fame today. So we'll talk to Chris Kampka about both of those guys. Paul Sullivan also covering the Hall of Fame festivities out in Cooperstown. He'll join us about an hour from now. He, of course, of the Chicago Tribune. Some great Lee Smith stories that he's written about, and I'm sure we'll be able to share. And then also the Cooperstown experience. We're going to get into with him a bit, as he's written in some great detail about that. And finally, before the game, about 12 o'clock today, Bruce Levine, our very own Bruce Levine, is going to join us, go over the pregame sound, what Joe Maddon, what other players had to say ahead of today's potential sweep of the San Diego Padres. That's what we're going to start with, Chicago Cubs, after two very strange days at the ballpark. And that's kind of what you get, I guess, when you're playing in 95 degrees with a humidity of about 175% or whatever it's been the last couple of days, is when the wind's howling out like it was for all of Friday and for the majority of the afternoon yesterday before a weird moment that we'll get to in just a second. That's rare across baseball and rare in these parts, even for a city that changes temperature and changes weather by the hour. It was kind of built for strange activities to happen. You saw it in Friday's game as the Padres, I know they've been struggling before this series, but they really give a game away, not just physically throwing a ball around the outfield, but mentally making mistakes left and right in that game as well. Yesterday you saw it as well. Addison Russell, with at least in the form of the Cubs, had what might have been his worst day ever at the baseball park anyway, as he was making errors, misplaying pop-ups, mistakes on the base path, throwing his bat like as we've become accustomed to when he strikes out at one of the points in the game yesterday. A real rough afternoon for him. But it just kind of feels like some of those the old saying, I know Hawk Harrelson used to say it all the time of, oh, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and it's what you do in the other 40 that determines if you're a good team or seen as a bad team. That's one of those other 40 games the last 2 days. When the wind's howling like it has been, when it's as hot as it has been, when the ball's flying out of the park like it has been, you saw it evidenced by stars all over the field yesterday's game, hitting home runs, whether it's Baez, Tatis, or Machado hitting career home run number 200. You've seen that the last few days. And it's some of those of, yeah, you like to see your team go out there and dominate, and that's great, and that's dandy, and no one's going to obviously complain when you see that. But the last 2 days are kind of those, all right, you got out with a victory, and that's really all that matters. You got out with a win, and what could have been a weird and struggling and furious afternoon, instead you walk out with a win and you take it and you sit ahead in the National League Central right now. We sat here and said, all right, which team's going to go on a run? Who's going to do this? Who's going to pull themselves out and go on a run here and kind of take over command of the National League Central? And it's too early to say, like, taking charge and running away. Like, it's only a 3-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers right now. But even with some of the shortcomings that the Cubs have had in the field the last couple of days, I think it's clear they're playing the best baseball of anyone in this division. And when you look at the roster, it's what was said going into this year by just about everybody. Outside of the Brewers' bullpen, which hasn't been that good outside of Hader, that was the team that had the most talent, the Cubs, clearly, in this division, headed into the 2019 season. And that's what was so frustrating about the first half of the year, is that you sat at the All-Star break, and sure, it was a first half that saw them in first place by a half game, but I don't think anyone that watched this team with any regularity was anywhere near satisfied with the product that was being put out there on the field on a daily basis. I compared it to, I wrote about it at 670thescore.com this week. I wrote about it, and it's just kind of reminded me of like sixth grade when it's report card day or it's midterms or getting sent home and mailed home, and you race to the mailbox because you don't want your parents to get them first. And it's like, okay, I have two A's, maybe a B, but I've got a C and a D too. I'm in no fear of failing sixth grade and moving on to seventh grade. I'm in no fear of that, but I'm not going to be competing for an honor roll with those grades. Your parents probably know, hey, disappointed in you, not because you're going to fail, but because you could do so much better. That's kind of how I saw the Cubs here a week and a half ago as we were at the All-Star break. And they have, not to say they've answered every question, because sure, if pitcher's age is a concern for you, this rotation, it's not getting any younger as the season goes on. But outside of two strange, hot, humid, wind-blowing out games here at Wrigley Field the last 2 days, you've gotten a quality start every time a starter has gone out and taken the ball for the Cubs here in the second half of the season. Now, is that obviously not going to keep up each and every time out, but you can't deny the importance of that and the significance of that against an offense. When you come out of the break in Pittsburgh, they had made you look foolish just a week and a half earlier, and instead you're the ones making them look foolish 3 days straight. And then they go out and do the same thing to Cincinnati outside of really two or three innings in that Monday night Reds game. The Cubs were in total control of that 3-game series. And it's been more of a toss-up here against San Diego. But when you throw in the kind of randomness and the weirdness of what happens at this park specifically, when the wind's howling out and it's hotter than all get-up outside, you're okay with it when you walk out with two victories, even if your starters in Lester and Quintana, numbers-wise, aren't fantastic. 312-644-6767 is your telephone number to call. Text messages as well, 67011 is where you go to get those. Again, we're live out at Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark Street, looking right into Gallagher Way is where we're looking. But if you're going to be out at the ballpark today, highly recommend you stop on by. Some great food, great service here, and a great view just outside the ballpark. Going to be here up until Cubs baseball today, 12:45, Zach Zaidman's pregame show gets going, and a 1:20 first pitch. Mentioned how strange it was in yesterday's ballgame, really the last 2 days. When you're playing in the excessive heat like you've seen here in Chicagoland the last couple of days, Strange things are bound to happen. I'm sure mental lapses are bound to happen, and focus isn't always the easiest thing to keep when you're out in the field and your game's going on 3 hours, 3.5 hours. The last couple days have been some pretty long games here because of the amount of base runners and because of everything that's gone into the last couple of days of games. There's a very strange moment in yesterday's game, though, that kind of, I think, it speaks to whether you're a baseball fan or not. I think it was a sense of relief that everyone in the city of Chicago felt yesterday at roughly 3:30, 3:35 p.m. when the weather changed, and lots of people don't necessarily like it when it gets cold. Cold's a little bit strong, but this is the first time I can remember a standing ovation being given to the weather at Wrigley Field. Pat Hughes detailed it yesterday afternoon here on The Score.
As it starts to cool off a little bit here at Wrigley, and the fans are cheering that the weather has changed.
I have never heard a roar like that at Wrigley Field in my 52 years of coming to this ballpark because of the wind changing.
I feel like cheering myself.
Well, you can feel the change in temperature. I bet it's changed 20 degrees, 15 degrees.
Two
Mr.
Down,
Hughes, your
on.
Prayers have been answered.
And now all of a sudden, it has become a pitcher's day. That wind is blowing straight in right now. I don't even know if one of your three woods would leave the yard at this point.
And gladly, it wouldn't. It was really funny. The fans in the left field bleachers started clapping at the top of the bleachers. Then down the left field corner started feeling the change in temperature. And all of a sudden, we got a weather change here. The much friendlier confines than it was earlier.
Yeah, it's the first time I can remember ever listening or watching a Cubs game or being in attendance at the Cubs game. Not that I was there yesterday. But the standing ovation went to, of all things, the wind change and the temperature change. But you saw it from players, too. It wasn't just the fans in the stands that were going crazy. The TV side of things, Len Casper was on the call. He mentioned, oh, man, forgot to bring my jacket today. Didn't think I was going to need that when the forecast said 95. But that the wind just starts howling in, and the strangeness and oddity of this ballpark, of just kind of the location of it. It's one of the very unique things in baseball that lends itself to that, of you pretty much play in two different home stadiums if you're the Cubs, if the wind's blowing in and wind's blowing out. And you saw it change there right in the seventh inning, the top half of the seventh inning. Javier Baez was among those that were very excited as well, as he started giving a round of applause and clapping and admiring a bit the wind change and the temperature change, and the Cubs were able to walk out with a 6-5 victory. 312-644-6767 is your number to call. Cubs playing some pretty good baseball here out of the chute in the second half of the season. 7-1, their first eight back. A chance to go 8-1 on this homestand before they pack up and head west to take on the Giants for the first three. A Giants team that's been playing some pretty good baseball here in the last few weeks, despite a record that's struggling to get to 500 this year. But if you want to talk about the Cubs, anything about the last couple of games, feel free, call on in, 312-644-6767. As always, your text messages are welcome as well, 67011. It's also Hall of Fame weekend, as a couple of locals, Harold Baines, Lee Smith, go into the Hall of Fame later on today. We're going to check in. Chris Kempka always joins Hit and Run each and every week. He wrote up great pieces on both Lee Smith and Harold Baines, so he'll break that down for us and give us a little bit of perspective on the whole class that goes in today. Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, and Mariano Rivera going in as well. And then at 10 o'clock, Paul Sullivan, also out in Cooperstown from the Chicago Tribune. He'll be discussing some stories from covering both of those guys, Lee Smith and Harold Baines anyway. And then he has an interesting piece in the Chicago Tribune today about what Cooperstown has figured out and the rest of baseball seemingly has not. So that's all to come with you. 312-644-6767. That's coming up here in just a little bit. We're at Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark, right outside Wrigley Field. Nick Szczepkowski with you. When we come back, we owe a huge thank you to the San Diego Padres for something. If you're a Cubs fan, you owe a thank you to the San Diego Padres. What's it for? We'll discuss it next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back in, 922 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Szefkowski with you out and about here on Hit and Run this morning. I'm in for Matt Spiegel. He's busy vacationing across the great country of Ireland, so I'm in for him. And I'm at Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark. We're looking right into Gallagher Way. If you're coming out to the ballpark today, stop on by, say hello before the game. Great venue here, some great food, already breakfast served here for us. Big thank you to the crew here, and it's all brought to you by Xfinity, the exclusive Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. I mentioned before the break that we, if you're a Cubs fan, like I am, I've grown up a Cubs fan, always been one. I try not to hide that and act like someone else on the radio. We owe a thank you to the San Diego Padres, Andy Green specifically, young manager of these young Padres team. Fernando Tatis Jr., we're aware of him in the city of Chicago because he was the very young prospect that the White Sox dealt and brought back James Shields because they thought that they were in another year where they could go for it towards the trade deadline and right around the All-Star break a few years back. And we know how that story went. James Shields was a disaster with the White Sox. And Fernando Tatis Jr., we've been tracking him the last few years as he's turned into one of the top prospects in baseball. And outside of Pete Alonso, probably your favorite in the National League to win the National League Rookie of the Year this year, as he's played very well at shortstop and hitting with some power there for the Padres this season. And he's all of, what, 20, 21 years old. How good is he? How much power does he have? How much potential does he have? Well, that was exhibited in his second at-bat yesterday when he hit a ball, I don't know, roughly a mile or so. This courtesy of the San Diego Padres television network.
Fly ball driven to deep right center field. That ball is back, and that ball is very gone. Out to right center field off the bat of Fernando Tatis Jr., his 16th home run of the year, and the Padres are on the board.
Yeah, that made the score 2-1, got the Padres on the board. They'd end up hitting a home run later on that inning with Manny Machado and taking the lead. But if you didn't see it, that thing went to, you know where the batter's eye is in center field at Wrigley Field, the part where it's all greened out and it's the hitter's eye that's there. It landed not just above that, like the banner that runs above that, but also he didn't pull the ball whatsoever. He went slightly to right field. The thing was a bomb. I didn't see exactly what the given measurement was or the distance was on the home run. It couldn't have been a foot less than 455 feet, and I think that I'm being pretty conservative when I say that. Like, that thing was an absolute bomb, and you just say, oh, my God. Maybe it's a product of the new baseball, a little bit of that. Mix it in with a center-cut fastball that didn't exactly move. And then factor in as well that it's humid as all get up and the wind's howling out here at Wrigley. And that didn't hurt the distance whatsoever. But there's not very many parks in baseball that were going to hold that thing in the ballpark, no matter what the conditions were. Funny that that gets brought up, though, because later in the game, in the ninth inning specifically, Cubs are up 6-5. Padres have a base runner on, and Fernando Tatis comes up to the plate again. Now, last segment, we went over how the wind had shifted and the wind had changed, so maybe that's in the back of Andy Green's mind when that happens. But later on, or in this at-bat, rather, Tatis, you're thinking, all right, please don't find a gap. Please don't line a ball into a gap. And instead, Andy Green has Fernando Tatis do this.
Tatis shows bunt. Bunt's in the air. Bodie makes a sliding catch. Out number one. Bodie slid across the foul line halfway between third and home. Slid on his knees and made the catch of that popped-up bunt. One down.
A big thank you to Andy Green and for Fernando Tatis Jr. I know he's just following what his manager says to do in that situation. But to flat out give up an out when you only have three left to work with, take the bat out of one of your best hitters' hands in that situation. Okay, the wind might be howling in, and that's fine. You're not always looking for a home run, even necessarily with Tatis. Sure, that ball he hit earlier on in the game probably leaves just about every ballpark in the world, but he hits the ball, and he hits the ball hard with regularity. Give him the chance to put a ball in the gap. He has as good a chance as anyone in your order, seemingly, to do that. And it's a solid order. It's a solid lineup that the Padres are playing with. And instead, and Jim DeShays was all over this on the television broadcast, instead he has him try to put down a bunt against one of the pitchers in baseball, in Craig Kimbrel, that is incredibly hard to get down a bunt successfully against. So that sets up the oddness of the ninth inning, one of the strange things that happened in the ninth inning. They give away the out despite one of their better hitters, their leadoff hitter, being in the batter's box, and then get thrown out on the base pass with a crazy and awesome tag by Javier Baez later on in the inning as well. And it was just a ninth inning that if you were just to isolate that and say, why have the Padres struggled so much out of the break? Why have they only won one game since the All-Star break? It's decisions and execution of things like in just that inning that you saw, but I can't say thank you enough. I think most Cubs fans probably feel the same way if they watched the game yesterday. You see Tatis in the batter's box and you think, oh boy, this guy's trouble, top of the order coming up here, and they just freely give away the out. And yes, David Bodie makes a nice play. I still like the Cubs' chances if the sacrifice is successfully laid down and Tatis is thrown out at first base and your runner's on second instead. Still like the Cubs' chances and Kimbrel's chances to get out of that with not allowing a run even in that situation. 312-644-6767 is your telephone number to call. Nick Szczepkowski in with you this morning on Hit and Run. We're broadcasting live from Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark Street here in Chicago. If you don't know those coordinates, it's directly across the street from Wrigley Field, and it's all brought to you by Xfinity, the exclusive Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. We go out to Champaign. Bruce has thoughts on the White Sox and where they sit right now. What's going on, Bruce? Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. First, I know injuries are part of the game, but we're going to play a woulda, shoulda, coulda here. How dangerous right now would the White Sox be if Kopech and Rodon were healthy on the pitching staff? Because it seems to me like after watching Lopez come around the other night against Tampa Bay, they've really got something here. But, you know, I mean, would they be in the mix? Would they be above 500? Where do you think they would be at?
I mean, it's hard to just decide based off of guys that would be Rodon. That's not just injuries. You've kind of been waiting for him to take that next step and consistently produce here for a little while now, and it's not only injuries that have stunted that. It's lack of control at times. He's got maybe his slider is a complete nasty wipeout pitch, but it's the other stuff that he struggles to execute with and struggled to get outs with there. I don't think it's necessarily like, oh yeah, they're knocking on the door of the Indians and the Twins who are now in a fight for this division. I don't think it's as simple as that. Would they be better? Yes, they would be, because this pitching staff, outside of really Lucas Giolito this season, that's the only one that's gone out and given you consistent starts, consistent quality starts, time in and time out. So, yeah, it would be an improvement. I don't think it'd be like this. I think expectations for either of those two this year at least would be too high. Yep, those two are the difference between the Sox being a team that's truly competing for a wild card spot and a team that's instead 7-8 games under 500. Appreciate the telephone call there, Bruce. 312-644-6767, your telephone number to call. Text messages always welcome as well, 67011. As we talk some Cubs here this morning on The Score, on Hit and Run, talking some White Sox with you as well. As the Cubs start off the second half in great fashion, going for the sweep of the Padres today, looking to close up this homestand and finish it 8-1 with a victory today. That's what that would bring for them. The White Sox didn't get off to such a hot start here in the second half of the year. They go to Oakland and they lose a couple of games in just blowout fashion right out of the chute. They lose in embarrassing fashion last Sunday to get swept on a walk-off error that was just incredibly ridiculous to kind of take in and to watch. And then they go to Kansas City and you're thinking, all right, right the ship a little bit, work for a split here, take two games in Kansas City, and it's all right, it's not a playoff team or an expectation to be a playoff team anyway. And instead, four straight days against the Royals just did not go the way for the White Sox. And they go to Tampa and you're thinking, oh boy, this is going to get even worse before it gets better, playing a potential playoff team. But they've gotten good pitching from both their guys. Giolito last night was nails. He was fantastic. McCann, obviously, the two-out home run in the ninth inning to send it to extras, and some great base running, great execution of a hit and run from Abreu and Yoan Moncada yesterday helps lead to that 2-1 win. And now they're sitting here looking at, well, maybe there's a sweep against a potential playoff team in the Rays. And that's what has on their table for them today. Not that it means they're going to be a playoff team or anything like that, but still, you can win a Major League Baseball game. You can win a series. You can potentially sweep a series on the road against a fairly good, pretty good Rays team. You're going to take that every time. Highland Park, David, you're next up on 670 The Score. Got thoughts on the Cubs. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I was listening to what you were saying a few minutes ago with Jim Deshae and what you were saying about thank you for the manager's decision yesterday. I thought that too watching the game. And not only that game yesterday, the game before that when Rizzo hit that grand slam, the Padres in both games were leading late in the game or midway through the game, and they blew it both times. And you wonder why a team is in last place. They're a good team, but they're not there yet. And the Cubs, you know, they took advantage of it. They won, I think, 7 out of the last 8 games out of the break, even though they played bad teams without good pitching. I want to see what the Cubs are going to do when they play the better teams, either on the road or at Wrigley, that are in the hunt for playoffs. And can they beat those teams when the game is tied or they're behind, with the other teams having good pitching in the bullpen and starting? Because I don't think they can beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series if they meet. I don't think so. I just don't believe that. And I don't think they can beat a few other teams in that National League if they meet, like Washington with their studs on the mounds and their team. It's just the teams they've beaten right now out of the break. Now, they play in San Francisco next, I think, or whatever. I don't know. San Francisco's been playing pretty hot lately. But they're not a good team, but they've been playing hot. But I just want to see what the Cubs are going to do.
Yeah, appreciate the telephone call there, David. You can only play who's on your schedule, and here's what I'll say to that. Yeah, you beat the Pirates, you beat the Reds, and you beat the Padres coming out of the break. And you look at the standings right now, Reds under 500 by 8 games. Pirates 5 games under 500. Padres have fallen on hard times here post-All-Star break. They're 6 games under 500. You can only play the teams that are on your schedule, one. Would you prefer the Cubs lose games against these teams then? Like, it's you're playing them. You might as well win. They count just as much in the standings and in the chase for a playoff spot as every other game does during the year. Would you prefer they don't win those games? No, you prefer they if they are beating up on the bottom feeders, kind of like you believe, good. That's what you need to do. You need to take 2 out of 3. You need to sweep these series against bad teams. Guess what they didn't do in the first half? Guess what this team didn't do? Beat the Pirates with consistency. Beat the Reds. They played 3 series against the Reds to start off the year, and they didn't win any of those 3. They've sat at 3-6 against Cincinnati when that series started the other night here at Wrigley before the Cubs take 2 out of 3 in that case. So it's one of those of, like, do you want to get upset because they're beating bad teams? No, you play who's on your schedule, and You take care of business against the bad teams. And now, sure, it's going to be a bit of a test here for the Cubs. They hop on a plane after the game today in San Francisco for the first of three tomorrow night, get Thursday off. Then they're in Milwaukee, who the Brewers, even despite having some of the struggles that they've had the Cubs' number here the last year or so when the two teams have met up. Then you get Monday off, and then you're in St. Louis for three more games next week as well. So it is one of those tough roads. You want to play the competition? Well, there's two of your biggest division rivals. If you're going to clinch a playoff spot, those are two teams that you're going to have to eliminate and go through in the Brewers and Cardinals. And the Giants, yeah, they got out of the gate not playing good baseball. They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball here the last two, 3 weeks. So I can't get on board with just, oh, they haven't beat anybody, haven't beat anybody. Yeah, you're right. They haven't beat any of the Dodgers or the other teams competing for first place, the Braves, the Nationals. But they haven't had a schedule against those. They also are playing teams that have played here against the Cubs relatively well in the first half of the year. The Cubs played better than both of them, the Pirates and the Reds, here out of the chute. Is there any like grand takeaways from it? No, but overall, Cubs playing a better brand of baseball. Before we take a timeout and welcome in Chris Kamka, Southside, and Ron, next up on the Score this morning on Hit and Run. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, Nick. You know what? I tell you, it's really nice to see good pitching performances with Giolito and Lopez, and just let you know how important, because sometimes your offense is going to struggle. You go up against good pitching, so it's really good to see that, and I'm really looking forward to Dylan Cease, going today. You know, maybe he can follow up with a good performance. And my last thing, Nick, is Cola May. I think the White Sox are really going to have to assess their team, where they are. You know, Cola mentioned Kopech coming back. They still, you know, need some outfield help. I think Robert will be in center field. You're going to need a right field. But and the reason I say that is I think that will factor in whether or not they trade Cola May. If they think that they can contend next year with the talent that they have, if they think they may even be another year away, then they may trade him. I think that's going to be a real big decision for the White Sox. So that's it. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate the telephone call. You have a great day as well. Cease, it's two starts out, and I thought that he got kind of hit with some tough luck the other night in Kansas City. Sure, his offense doesn't score runs, so that doesn't help anything, but not necessarily the best defense being played to aid him along the way either. However, you look at it, and it ends up being six runs, four of them being earned. He didn't pitch over those mistakes either, so it's only two starts into his career, so I don't want to be like crisis mode or panic mode on any of that. If there's anything to take away that I liked more in his second start than his first, you heard all through his time coming up, control, control, fastball command, control with him. That's the worry. Got himself in some trouble against the Tigers in his first major league start. It wasn't walks that were his problem so much in his second start of his career. It's kind of evening that out and not making any grand conclusions, I don't think, here through his first two or three starts or anything through the lineup and through his baseball career. We have to pause for a timeout. It's Hit and Run. We're out at Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark. It's Nick Szczepkowski. I'm in today for Matt Spiegel. He's vacationing, touring Europe as we speak right now. We're talking baseball without Spiegs, though. And it's all brought to you today by Xfinity, the exclusive Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. Each week, Spiegs has a conversation with one of the best baseball minds in the city, Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us next. He's actually in Cooperstown getting set to cover the Hall of Fame ceremonies today. Has some great insight and detail to the careers of Lee Smith and of Harold Baines, who spent much of their careers here in the city of Chicago. We discuss that with Chris next, coming up on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good morning, happy Sunday, welcome back in. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Szczepkowski in for a traveling Matt Spiegel today as we're talking all things baseball here on Hit and Run, live from Smoke Daddy, 3636 North Clark. We're looking right into Gallagher Way here. We're here until 1245 today. That's when Zach Zaidman takes over. He'll be broadcasting live here as well. And it's all brought to you by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi of Wrigley Field. For more on the 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame class that gets officially enshrined in a couple of hours in Cooperstown, we go to Cooperstown, New York, and welcome him in from NBC Sports Chicago. He's out covering Harold Baines and Lee Smith, two Chicagoans going into the hall today. He's none other than our guy, Chris Kampka, joining us live here on The Score. What's up, Chris?
Oh, Shep, and happy induction day to everybody out there. It's just a reminder, this is a day to celebrate great players, and whether you disagree on the everything like that, put that aside for today. Celebrate some great players today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to go about it. You hear so much of it, and I think that the arguments, they're fine for the other 364 days a year. But on these guys' day, like Jack Morris last year, Harold Baines in this case this year, Lee Smith as well falls into that, why not just celebrate him instead? I know that you like to look at some of the positive things with it. Harold Baines has been ridiculed. Oh, my God, his WAR's not high enough. How is he going to be a Hall of Famer? How can you let him in? What are some things that we need to know when you look back and remember Harold Baines' career? What was he particularly great at? Because when I first started watching baseball, his better days had long gone. And I remember Harold Baines as the DH that had a little bit of pop, but not much else. What was he as a player that was so key in the 80s?
Consistency. Consistency is key when you're talking about Harold Baines. You take a look at players that had at least 20 seasons of double-digit home runs, you get a dozen players, and Harold Baines is one of them. I would say this is probably my favorite Harold Baines stat right here. So in 1989, when he left the White Sox, he had his number retired when he came back to Comiskey Park while with the Rangers. He played 1,432 games after his number was retired, which is the most of anybody in Major League history. That's a record that I don't see being broken anytime soon. He played more than half of his Major League games with his number already retired. And consider the fact that 1,432 games is more than the entire career of what Mike Trout has done so far. And three Hall of Fame caliber players, although there were circumstances, of course, that led to fewer games being played. Shoeless Joe Jackson had 100 fewer games than Baines after his number was retired. Jackie Robinson, of course, his career was shortened because of prejudice. He had 50 fewer games than Baines had after his number retired. And Hank Greenberg, due to World War II, lost some games. But even he had a full Hall of Fame career of fewer games than Harold Baines did after his number was retired. It's pretty amazing.
No doubt about it. And I know it's not just stats with you, but it's the historical side of it as well. What was the reasoning when Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox retired the number after the trade in Texas?
Well, first overall pick. He had 10 seasons or, nine and a half seasons with the White Sox already. He was very high on franchise lists already. If he wasn't number one on the career home run list, he was number two. It was he and Fisk 1-2. So he'd already climbed well up all the franchise lists, and I don't think anyone could anticipate it that he'd be back anyway later on. And he made two separate turns to the White Sox after that initial trade to the Rangers. So I think, it makes sense to me. He was already a fan favorite and one of the all-time greats in franchise history. I think it was justified. But I don't know if you'll see anything like that again.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, okay, it might have been justified. It just seems so strange, I guess, by the way things kind of go today. He's Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. If you don't follow him on Twitter and you call yourself a baseball fan, then you need to get following him on Twitter as well. At C Kampka is where you can follow all of his work. Switching sides a little bit here, Lee Smith goes in, spends his first 8 years as a Chicago Cub playing here, calling this his home ballpark that we're outside of today. Lee Smith, we remember him, at least my generation remembers him, I remember him as a Cardinal or an Oriole late in his career. What was it? Was Lee Smith like, he goes in on the same day Mariano Rivera does, and he's no doubt the most dominating closer that there's been in baseball. What was Lee Smith kind of by 80s standards for a baseball closer in terms of dominance?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that anybody should have to go in at the same time as Mariano Rivera. It's just not a fair comparison to compare anybody to it. But I will say this. His last save was in 1997. His career ended in 1997. When he retired, he had 478 career saves, which was 89 more than the next player, Dennis Eckersley, who had 389. The difference between number one and number two was the same as the difference between number two and number nine. Number nine was Bruce Sutter, who had 300. So that's the kind of lead, and that's the kind of command Lee Smith had over the save category during his major league career. And he did it differently, too. He had 94 career saves of two or more innings. 94. If you were to take the number of two-plus inning saves for Mariano Rivera, 11, multiply it by the number of two-plus inning saves for Trevor Hoffman, 7, you get 77, which is still 17 fewer than Lee Smith.
That's absurd. Yeah, Lee Smith, I mean, longevity, definitely one of the first things you think of when you think of him. This segment being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now, NUSports.com. Some other legends going into the Hall of Fame today. Mike Mussina goes in. So does the likes of Mariano Rivera, like we mentioned. Roy Halladay goes in as well. And then a guy that in his 10th and final year on the ballot finally gets the nod, and one that I thought was deserving of this praise long ago, Edgar Martinez gets the nod, the former designated hitter of the Seattle Mariners that just kind of got forgotten about there for years and years. How underappreciated was he seemingly by baseball voters in this, the writers in voting for this, and just kind of like in his career since he was seemingly always overshadowed by A-Rod or Griffey or some of the other stars in Seattle?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the DH factor. And it's just, sooner or later, it's a position. And he was one of the greatest all-time at it. And that's what it boils down to. I think he could have played position for a long time, but it just wasn't needed. And I think a lot of people, you know, insist, oh, yeah, you know, he's a DH because he just couldn't field. Well, in a lot of cases, including his, he didn't have to DH. It was just what he was asked to do by his team. And I think that's important as well. But he's one of the greatest right-handed hitters in the history of the game. I mean,
I don't think it's debatable. You pull up his stats, you put him next to David Ortiz's, and you're like, oh, which one was the better designated hitter? Well, the numbers tell you one thing, and then the stories tell you that it was Ortiz instead. Do you think that this year, the change kind, not necessarily a change, but you see two relief pitchers or two closers go in there, and Lee Smith and Rivera, you see the designated hitter in Edgar Martinez and Harold Baines as well. He played half of his career almost exclusively as a designated hitter. I think that changes the fortune of some of the guys that haven't had the luck of getting in here in recent years.
Once again, one more time, Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just asking if you thought that because of kind of what this class presents with the designated hitter and Edgar Martinez, Baines played a bunch of years of his career at designated hitter, two closers going in and Smith and Rivera, does it make it easier for guys of those positions here in years to come to get in?
Maybe in a way, but I think these guys are transcendent talents, especially Edgar is an all-timer. Mariano is an all-timer, so... But I do think people begin to look at the fact that these are positions and these are the roles that they're asked to play. And the best at any position should be rewarded because that's just the way it should be. And let me add on Edgar Martinez. It is stunning how much support Edgar Martinez has out here in Cooperstown here today. There is a lot of Edgar Martinez jerseys out here. It's pretty great to see.
Yeah, I mean, he was always one of my favorites. Just you think dominating right-handed hitters, and he's not quite on the level of Big Frank or some of the others, but he's not that terribly far off. Chris, I know festivities are starting to get underway there. Enjoy your time out in Cooperstown. We appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and I'm looking forward to hearing these speeches.
Awesome. Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago, at C. Kampka. He joined us on the Alpamani Ford Hotline. Alpamani Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. It's Nick Szabkowski. I'm in on Hit and Run today. Matt Spiegel's vacationing, so I step in for him and pinch hit for him this morning here on The Score. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to hear from the likes of Bruce Levine's going to join us here in the 12 o'clock hour after the players and Joe Maddon get done speaking ahead of what's hopefully a series sweep. sweep. But coming up next, we go back out to Cooperstown and a different angle on Lee Smith and Harold Baines and baseball as a whole. They do something great in Cooperstown that they don't do so much the rest of the year. We discuss it next with Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.